From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where Massachusetts lawmakers work through the weekend to finish up their work before the end of the legislative session on Sunday night. But come Monday morning, there was still a lot of unfinished business. For more on what got done this year, we're joined now by WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown, who's been monitoring the very hectic end of the 2022 session. Steve, I know you've had a long few days. I know you've been very busy. We really appreciate you being here, and we're hoping you're able to get some rest after we talk.
I hope so too, Daryl. I'm running on fumes here.
So when did state lawmakers wrap things up, and what was the energy like on Beacon Hill?
They wrapped things up at about 10:15 on Monday morning. It was incredibly tense throughout the evening with so many big ticket items coming in after midnight. But they officially called it quits at 10:15 this morning, as I said. That's a full 10 hours and 15 minutes after the midnight deadline, which those of us who have spent time in the State House knew really wasn't a deadline, but just a mere suggestion.
Right. So what are the big headlines from this session?
Well, there were quite a few. One of the biggest ones involved a bill to allow people to bet on sports in Massachusetts. A big sticking point was whether to include college sports, something many people opposed. Lawmakers wound up reaching a compromise that would generally allow wagers on collegiate sports, but not for college games involving colleges here in Massachusetts. They also agreed to update the rules for mental health services, including requiring insurances to offer free annual mental health exams. It gives the Division of Insurance more teeth to enforce the state's mental health parity law, which treats mental health the same way as it does physical health when it comes to insurance coverage. They also decided to overhaul the regulations for the marijuana industry here in Massachusetts, including providing more help for smaller and minority operators and limiting the fees that are charged by cities and towns. It appears that the $4.3 billion economic development bill is effectively dead, which will be a huge disappointment. They usually pass one of those every 2 years, and it's loaded up with money for things like housing production, struggling hospitals, and the unemployment trust fund, just to name a few.
So there's no development bill for the coming 2 years?
Technically, the bill is still in conference, so I guess you could say it's still alive, but on life support. They say they would like to get to it, but one thing this year's bill would also have included was a $250 tax break for many people. That might not happen. The negotiations blew up after lawmakers learned last week that a 1986 law would automatically set into motion an additional $3 billion tax rebate this fall. And that made it much harder to figure out how to pay for the $4 billion economic development package.
Okay, wow. So tell us about this 1986 law.
Yeah, it was a law from the 80s that was passed by voters to limit taxes. It states that whenever the growth of tax revenue exceeds the rise in wages and salaries, the extra money must be returned to the taxpayers. While Governor Baker says he thinks that the state can afford both the rebate and the tax cuts that were in the economic development bill, the legislature is not so sure. With fears of a recession on the horizon, one rep told me that Charlie Baker will be long gone when the state runs out of money. Legislators believe the state's entire fiscal picture relies on that $3 billion, and if it's sent back to taxpayers, all those plans would need to be rewritten. Now, there is some hope among some legislators to try to resolve something on tax relief eventually, but when just isn't clear.
Okay, so don't start planning for extra money yet, folks. And then there's also a big climate bill, right?
Yeah, that had been on the governor's desk up until Friday. He returned the climate bill to the legislature, raising several concerns. So that went back on the legislature's to-do pile over the weekend. Ultimately, lawmakers accepted some of the governor's amendments, but they've stuck to their guns on others. For example, the governor recommended that they lift the price cap and also spend federal ARPA money to help jumpstart the wind industry here in the state. They lifted the cap, but they did not okay the ARPA money. Our colleague Miriam Wasser is looking into this and will have a full report sometime in the next few days.
Okay, shout out to Miriam. Looking forward to seeing where that lands. Now, moving on, Governor Baker also had a plan to make it easier to detain criminal defendants who some might consider dangerous. What happened with that?
Sure, there was a big back and forth between the governor and the legislature. When the governor signed the $53 billion state budget last week, he refused to sign a provision to provide free phone calls to inmates, something the legislature had already approved. Instead, the governor inserted additional language that would expand the reasons for holding so-called dangerousness hearings, where defendants could potentially be detained before going on trial. But legislative leaders refused to accept the governor's language. House Judiciary Chairman Mike Day called the governor's amendment a bad proposal that would likely substantially increase the rate and duration of pretrial detention and give prosecutors an unbelievable amount of power.
Put simply, this is a constitutional due process problem and one that would do great harm to our communities writ large if adopted.
But over in the Senate, very early on Monday morning, senators adopted a narrowed-down amendment expanding the list of crimes for which a defendant can be considered dangerous and jailed, as well as making things like cutting off a GPS ankle bracelet a crime. Since the House and Senate bills are different and they're virtually out of time, this makes passage of the bill unlikely.
Understood. I know this is a lot, but anything else from this session we should know about?
Yeah, they sent the governor an $11 billion transportation bond issue. That allows the state to borrow money to repair roads and bridges. It also contains $400 million to address safety problems at the MBTA. They need that. And provides $275 million to develop rail service to western Massachusetts. They also sent the bill reforming the way the state operates the two veterans' homes in Holyoke and Chelsea back to the governor. He had some minor concerns about it, so the legislature changed it to something that would satisfy the governor. He'll probably sign the bill.
Okay. I'm sure all our the transit nerds will be really pleased to hear the T is getting some extra money in this rail service to western Massachusetts. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, take the train to Springfield.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for all this, Steve. You know, I know you're like running on empty, but would you mind sticking around for just one more question?
Oh, for you, one more question, sure.
So, Steve, are the legislative sessions in Massachusetts always this hectic?
Daryl, in a word, yes. Jerry Berger is a former State House reporter and Senate staffer who now runs Boston University's State House Journalism Program. He says Congress and other legislatures also push everything off to the last minute.
They work best with deadlines. It just induces them to get things done with the pressure of the moment. And it also enables them to wheel and deal a little bit more. But it's not a good way to do things.
Wow. So, Steve, you know, one thing I'm hearing here is that even though it was pretty hectic, it does sound like they got some stuff done that will benefit a lot of different people, right?
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff done, but the process is really chaotic. Lots of bills just never seem to make it across the finish line before the time expires. And this is just the latest example.
Understood. Steve, thanks so much. I really appreciate you coming through, man.
You're most welcome, Daryl.
That's WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Wilder Fleming with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You're obviously a podcast listener. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts culture, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.